Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
People have probably spoken on how they feel about Donald Trump, but they've definitely spoken on how they feel about Mitch McConnell. And he is right now not representing the majority of the American people, if that is something that he's willing to do, to really thwart the will of the people via Donald Trump. It's unfortunate that that's the way he thinks he's going to operate. But I would say that that the American people always have an option here, and you can vote these people out. Maybe you want to send a loud and clear message to them. If they are not doing what you think is right, call up your local, call up your senator, call up, you know, whoever it is in your local district, and make your voice heard and make it loud and clear to them how you feel about these appointments Donald Trump has put forward and that they should be confirmed.
So Laura Trump there, potentially the next senator from the state of Florida, if Ron DeSantis chooses to put her in that position to replace Marco Rubio. Should Marco Rubio be confirmed to the United States Senate? I don't think there will be any problem with that. We have a YouTube live chat poll for today that is about these recess appointment confirmations that are being talked about quite a bit. Do you support recess appointment confirmations for Trump's cabinet picks? You have three choices. Yes for all of them. If they went in and did a recess appointment confirmation for every single person Donald Trump appointed, you would be, or nominated, you'd be fine with that. That's yes for all. Yes for some. If you think that there are, you know, like Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, he's been in Congress and we don't need to spend days and days or whatever it might be in confirmation hearing processes with the United States Senate being tied up with that, and we can get that through, you're okay with something like that. Or, but you don't really want to see the Secretary of Defense or the Attorney General or the Secretary of State, these really, really high profile in the line of succession positions, be appointed through a recess appointment. You would say yes for some. Or you might say no. Nobody should be confirmed by a recess appointment, which I would remind you that all presidents have some recess appointments they get through. They're just usually not high profile enough to really crack the surface. And I got to be honest, I think that people are paying attention to the way our government works and functions now more than ever. There are people who are being outraged about recess appointments right now that didn't even know that the Senate had the opportunity to confirm or not confirm these individuals.
Yeah. That's actually where I'm at on this poll, is no for now, because I don't know that much about recess appointments. I'm going to, though, make the case that I could change my mind on this based on circumstance, because I'm learning, I think, along with everybody else, about how this whole process works. It's amazing how many people we've talked to about recess appointments and how many different opinions there are about how they even work. So how this whole process plays out will be interesting to watch. I'm a no for now.
I'm a some, because I think that the process of trying to slow walk some of these things just for the sake of the Democrats doing everything they can to slow everything down. I'm for some recess appointments. I'm not opposed to recess appointments, but I am opposed to the idea of these high profile. If you're in the line of succession, I think that you should have to be vetted. And I think that the vetting should go quickly. I don't think that there should be a lot of song and dance around it if it's not for good cause. And the fact that you disagree with policy doesn't mean that you should disagree with the appointment per se. Like if you have an actual, you know, there are a lot of awful allegations that are out there about Matt Gaetz that might make somebody say that the person doesn't have the character to be confirmed, but those allegations also might be false. And if they might be false, that is worthy of the vetting process, in my opinion, for sure. But I don't think that you should be, the Secretary of State comes after the President pro tem in the line of succession. So that makes it President, Vice President, Speaker of the House, President pro tem, Secretary of State, fifth in line to the presidency. You need to, all due diligence needs to be made to ensure that that person is, from a character standpoint, capable of doing the job. Now, Marco Rubio's constituents just put him back. The state of Florida just put him back. in the Senate two cycles ago. Not this one, but the last one, I think. Mm-hmm. With pretty much overwhelming support in that 2022 year where Republicans did not fare so well. Marco Rubio in Florida did just fine for Republicans. But the nation should have the opportunity. Senators from Missouri and Illinois should have the opportunity to say, yeah, thumbs up. This guy can do the job. And if you just disagree with his policy, you're not going to find somebody from Donald Trump's appointments that's going to be in line with your policy. You can question different things, and you should have the opportunity to hear their answer. But if the person is serving at the pleasure of the president and is looking to enact the president's policy, Democrats can vote no, and all the Republicans can vote yes, and there you go. He's confirmed. What do you think, Brad?
Well, I'm with Ryan on this one. I'm a no. I reserve the right to change my opinion, but as I sit now, no. I'm with you on the Matt Gaetz thing. There's allegations against Matt Gaetz, but I also know there was a DOJ investigation into those allegations, and they found nothing. So I think that he deserves his chance to go before.
We don't know that they found nothing.
They decided not to prosecute.
But they did drop the charges. And in this world that we live in, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Well, in this world we live in, you'd think that if they found anything against any high-profile Republican, the Democrat DOJ would have gone after it.
Right.
They didn't.
And that's kind of what my thoughts were, too. It's like this was a pelt that if the Biden DOJ could have nailed to the wall, they absolutely would have. So my question is why didn't they if they had all this evidence and this is so true? So I think Matt Gaetz deserves his chance to go before the Senate and declare why he should be the next AG. And then up or down vote. I'm not interested in slow walking stuff. And if it looks like there's funny business and games, that's where I would change my vote to yes, some. Because if it looks like somebody's playing games with this, then I'm past that. But I think right now the Trump administration needs to prove that they're on the up and up, that they're going to do this. And they're going to say, hey, we're going to do this through all the right channels and we want our people in there. And that's what the American people want.
Amy makes an interesting comment on YouTube. She said, I said no, but only because I heard they're only temporary. So you're just delaying the drama. But it should also not take more than a month to get a cabinet approved. It's a 2-year cycle. So come the next cycle, the next Congress, I believe, that is when the recess appointment is up.
Whereas if it went through the process, it's not a 2-year cycle.
You serve at the pleasure of the president. You're there as long as the president wants you to be there.
See, that to me is a reason to just go forward with getting these through the normal nomination
process. If you're serious about them doing the job, the duration of the job, then yeah.
You brought up an interesting point yesterday that I hadn't, apparently this is being kicked around on the socials, that I hadn't thought of it.
Yeah, before you say that, if people want to weigh in on this, 314-241-9797, let's take your phone calls on this YouTube live chat poll for today. We get you get some listeners on here. Do you support recess appointment confirmations for Trump cabinets? Yes for all, yes for some, or no? 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Give us a call. We'll put some of those folks on. Go ahead, Ryan.
I don't know how wide the list is, but there's a list of Republicans who supported Merrick Garland for attorney general. Now, those Republicans are going to get a lot of heat if they don't support Matt Gaetz for attorney general. I understand that. But it brings up a bigger issue. Let's say you're a Republican in 2021 and you're having to confirm Democrat appointees. And the reverse is true right now of Democrats confirming Republican appointees. Do you take the line of, well, some of these people I disagree, just like you just said, I disagree with their overall philosophy, but they haven't done anything wrong, so I have to at least hear them out. I'm going to vote for them just because that's the way we've always done it. Or do you say, I disagree with the way Democrats run things so much, so fundamentally, that I can't even vote for a normal Democrat because the way they approach everything is so much different than I would hope. You know, it's an interesting spot for a senator to be in nowadays.
The Daily Signal has an article out just a couple days ago. 20 Republican senators voted to confirm Merrick Garland in 2021. 20. Here they are in alphabetical order. Roy Blunt of Missouri.
Oh.
Richard Burr of North Carolina. Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia. Is that how you say her name? Capito, I think. Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Susan Collins. Shush. Susan Collins of Maine. Don't do this for every single name I say.
Collins.
Shush. John Cornyn of Texas, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Lindsey Graham. Do these names sound, are these surprising?
No.
Chuck Grassley of Iowa, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, James Lankford of Oklahoma, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Jerry Moran of Kansas, Lisa Murkowski, Arkansas. That's not right. It's Alaska. It says Arkansas, but she's definitely from Alaska. I'm correcting the Daily Signal live on air. Rob Portman of Ohio, Mitt Romney of Utah. Ooh, shocking. Mike Rounds of South Dakota, John Thune of South Dakota, and Tom Tillis of North Carolina. So, yes, Senate Majority Leader John Thune, Merrick Garland, but no Matt Gaetz. Tell me more.
Yeah, it's a good question to ask. And this should be asked of those senators.
314-241-9797. If you want to weigh in on this topic, we'd love to hear from you. 314-241-9797. Michael, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think?
I think they should temporary every single one, because we know there's at least some Republicans who are openly saying that they don't like President Trump and they're going to side with the Democrats, which automatically means...
Which one of those Republicans, like who are you thinking those Republicans might
be? Well, the McConnell guy, and then I was watching Fox News last night and I didn't know the names, but I know Mitch McConnell would be one just because he's sour over his spilt milk.
Yeah.
But so we have a majority of three, I think it is right now. So if we lose six, even if the rest of the Republicans are America First Republicans, having six that aren't, then take who knows how long. So temporary all of them. And then you can work on getting it done the right way once people start seeing. Because they can start the process, the regular process, anytime in that 2-year period.
After the recess appointment is made.
Right. That's my understanding.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Michael. He's ready to get going. I mean, I want Mitch McConnell on record. I want him to have to say no while all of the rest of these people say yes.
I do too, but I don't think he cares anymore.
I don't think he would say no. He came out and endorsed Trump after all was said and done. Mitch McConnell has left to do is to maybe make a little trouble leading into. Do you think the people of Kentucky, the people also represented by Rand Paul, want Mitch McConnell to vote no against Donald Trump's cabinet appointments?
No, but I just don't think he is going to care. He has nothing to lose now. He's never going to run again. He's done. I think his whole point now is to do what he thinks is best for Mitch McConnell, which, you know, could be, well, the way he sees things anyway, maybe not personally best for him. But I could see him throwing a wrench in a whole lot of things just because he is like, no, this isn't the way we usually do
it's
it.
It's like John McCain at the end of his.
Yeah.
But out of great disdain for Donald Trump. I think I just see it differently than you do. I don't think he would do that. I think Mitch McConnell, who has in his lifetime been incredibly politically aware, he knows that he is not in the center of this party anymore. He is way on the outside. And he could quietly vote yes. If he votes no, oh my Lord in heaven, he's going to have to face down some friendly fire from within the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Daryl's call before we go to a break here. Daryl, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think? Do you support recess appointment confirmations for Trump's cabinet picks?
Well, one of the things is I wouldn't pick Gaetz. I mean, why would we pick a rapist, a child molester? I mean,
Daryl, listen. Yeah. The question is, do you support recess appointment confirmations? So does that mean that you're a no?
I do.
And Matt, you can't. I mean, that's literally defamation to say that about Matt Gaetz. He is not convicted of any of that stuff. He's not even being charged with any of that stuff.
Well, if Matt Gaetz, he's always been a thorn in our party side, and I tell you, that's somebody we don't want. He's not going to do the right thing. He's only going to do stuff one sided. You're just going to do what Trump say. He's not going to say.
Don't you think that the majority of the country just chose Donald Trump and Donald Trump chose Matt Gaetz? So he does serve at the pleasure of the president. He's supposed to do what Donald Trump wants him to do as far as the plan to right the justice system.
Yeah, but the thing is, they keep talking about the Constitution. They keep talking about the law. What about the law? What about the Constitution?
Yeah, we need to restore it. I think that was why he picked Matt Gaetz.
I don't think it's been unrestored. I think that the problem is, the reason our country the way it is right now is because of either party. They didn't put country first. I'm just saying, they didn't put country first. Our party, the Republican Party, we worry about party first over country. Democrats, they worry about the party, the whatever SWAT and so on and so on. They put country first. And that's why we at where we at right now. And then what's ready to go on with one side controlling all three houses and all this kind of stuff, it's going to be a mess.
Daryl, I just got to say, constitutionally speaking, when the American people speak and they put Republicans in charge of everything, that's about as constitutionally based as it possibly gets. And you keep saying we don't need him in our party. It sounds to me like the we and the our, that's a you, not a you and me thing, because I don't think you and I see the things the same way.
You're right. And I know that you for party. I mean, I listen to you every day. I listen to you every day, faithfully, sweet. I love you. So, but my thing is that we're not taking care of the American people. It's just that simple. I mean,
what about Donald Trump's campaign leading up to his victory? What about what he did and said makes you think that he doesn't care about the American people that have been forgotten for the last 4 years?
Trump is worrying about one person. That's Trump.
That's not true.
Trump don't give a damn about you, me.
I completely disagree.
Oh, okay. And you know what? And we can agree to disagree. But I'm telling you right now, we got Jesus. So I can say that still have.
Hey, you and I agree on that, there, Daryl.
We're gonna be okay. Anyway, sweetie, I listen every day. I love you. Go right ahead. Do what you do.
Thank you, Daryl. I appreciate you very much as well. Kind words from him that he listens, even though we might disagree on certain things. And I just don't fundamentally agree with that thought that Donald Trump is in this for himself. If he were in it for himself, he'd be making bazillions of dollars doing things that didn't involve taking gunfire at his head.
Yeah, this has not been an easy campaign.
No. And I mean, how many people have come into the presidency and become very, very wealthy? He's lost capital over being the president of the United States. But the good news here, at least in my perspective, is that Donald Trump now has the ability to prove Daryl wrong. And Daryl has the right to have his thoughts and his opinions and question, as we all should be doing, is questioning government, questioning our elected officials, especially when we send them there. You should hold them accountable all of the time. I hope that the case that Daryl is convinced otherwise through the course of Donald Trump's next term. I hope that we hear from Daryl again soon. And he goes, you know what? I might not think this, that, and the other thing about him, but he has done things that I didn't anticipate him doing.
I just appreciate that Daryl has a deep distrust of politicians. I mean, that's a healthy thing to have.
We have that in common.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. Tell us what you think on the YouTube live chat poll. Do you support recess appointment confirmations for Trump's cabinet picks? Yes for all, yes for some, or no? We got two no's and a yes for some in this room. What about you? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Gosh, it's gorgeous outside. It's so nice outside today. Why are we inside? Oh, yeah, because we have a job performance review coming up.
We could take these microphones outside.
Annie, can we have radio outside today?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't know what kind of authority you think I have, but I assure you, I don't. I have none.
Annie, can we play outside?
Yes. You can. 3 o'clock. You can do whatever you want then. I'm leaving. Now I have to go to a meeting with our boss.
Oh.
I came across this clip. Scott Jennings, what a leap I believe his career has made in the course of this past election. People coming on to who Scott Jennings is on CNN. I mean, I think really putting CNN on the map for discussion, because he's speaking into enemy territory on a regular basis, but with the chill that you have to make it really entertaining. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't lose his cool.
No, it's been, I didn't know much about him at all before this election started to really ramp up. But I wanted to play this for you guys and get your thoughts on this.
I do think we have a crisis of especially young men in this country. And they're, you know, in many ways disconnected from the rest of their families, disconnected from their communities, disconnected from our political culture, disconnected from our civil culture. And that's a real problem for a society that depends on all of us to be engaged and working together to make it as good of a country and as good of a society as it can be. I think the Democrats in this election made men feel like that the patriarchy is over, boys, and we're going to put you in the back seat for a while and you're just going to have to accept it without any thought to the ramifications of telling people who are out honestly trying to make a living, provide for their families, be good husbands, be good fathers. When you tell people who are doing their level best that either A, it's not good enough, or B, you're part of the problem, what do you expect? And then finally, as a political tactic, you know, the attempt to put walls on the ticket, and that was going to somehow solve all of the problems that had been built up for years, was ridiculous, because it turns out Walls was the last person that men wanted to hear from. And I remember at the beginning of that whole campaign when they put him on, I sat right here, and people were like, oh, they got camouflaged hats. They're going to be wearing them in the deer stands this fall. And I think to your point that you just made, that was not that that idea that it was not formulated by a bunch of dudes who actually go deer hunting. It was come up with by a bunch of people who've never met a dude that actually goes deer hunting. But when you try to put that kind of window dressing on a real communications problem or a real relationship problem, it gets exposed immediately.
So, gosh, he says so much there in that clip. And I think it's really important to talk about right now, because the lower third right there while Scott Jennings is talking to, and this is what I noticed about this. I don't know all the people who are on this table of this panel of guests regularly, but very rarely does Scott Jennings make his salient points without getting shouted down by lunatics who are sitting at most of the people who they were showing on the camera there were looking and giving him the respect of listening to him. And some other people look like they were kind of almost going, yeah, you got a point here. But the lower third, while he was talking, said modern manhood and its attraction to MAGA. And he makes two points there, that there is an attraction to what Donald Trump's movement offered to men who want to be men. Period, full stop. But also, he talks about what the other side did to repel men. So there's an attraction and a detraction for men that was really a highlight of this campaign cycle. Ryan, you're raising two boys. I think that culture, like the reflection that culture has, good grief, there are music videos out there that your kids could come across. There's so much stuff on social media. God forbid you let your children, I'm not talking to you, Ryan, I'm talking to everybody, have access to social media. I've allowed my kids to have phones that they can text message on. Zero, zilch, none social media. But the constant inundation of feminized men as the only acceptable way for men to be. We went from, you know, not all men want to be in a deer stand drinking, I was going to say beer, but you shouldn't be drinking beer in your deer stand. What do I know?
Oh, duels.
Yeah. Going back to the feminization, just kidding.
Ouch.
The super masculine attributes that are shoved into the category off the cliff into toxic masculinity, that toxic masculinity became anything that was masculine. And while I know men in my life who have more what would be considered feminine characterizations, but they still would be like, yeah, I'm a man. there's no departure from that. Like, the existence of multiple kinds of men, that's what reality is. But the left has said, no, we're only going to permit these kind of men. And anything that looks super, you know, America, masculine, that is done. That is over. That is patriarchy. It's hard to raise kids in a world where their cultural references are pointing them away. It's hard to raise sons in a world where cultural references are always shaming men for being men.
It's probably a weird diversion way to go here, but I feel like there are extremes of masculinity right now. The left being in control of most of how they're defining modern masculinity, exactly what you're talking about, that we talk about pretty often, that, you know, it's kind of the feminization of men. That there is a backlash against that, though. And that backlash looks a lot like UFC fights. It looks a lot like the hunting culture, and all of that's fine. I have no problem with the backlash, but there's also a large contingency of people in the middle of that, because I'm not really into that. I'm not like a gun culture guy. I'm a gun rights guy, but I'm not really into the gun culture as much. I'm kind of interested in finding out more, but I'm not there yet. UFC, it's not my thing, but I am not anywhere. I'm closer to that, but it's not my subculture. I'm not anywhere near what the left is trying to sell, though. So there's a lot of people who you may not be into the backlash stuff, the extreme masculinity, but you are definitely not into whatever they're trying to sell you is masculinity now. And so you're just kind of lost. And I think Scott Jennings seems to be speaking to that a little bit more than anything here, that there is a whole generation of men who are like, look, I like some of the high testosterone stuff, but it's not 100% of who I am. Isn't there a middle ground? And it's definitely not over here.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, Ryan, is what he was hitting on. They took, the left did, and they pointed to you, the guys like you, and said you're just like the rest of all those crazies out there that want to, you know, do all these high-octane, testosterone-laden things. All men are the same unless they're ultra-feminized. And so they divided men up, and if you didn't do what they thought men should do or whatever the new men thing is, and I'm not even sure that they even understand what it is, because it seems to me they've been trying to erase the differences between the sexes as of the past 10 years. But they took and they put their dividing line down and scooped everybody into one bucket that was on that side of the dividing line. And it turns out it was a majority of men that they scooped over into that bucket and offended and called toxic. And they did a whole bunch of things. And to his point at the beginning, too, he was talking about, you know, how men feel alone and left out. And I was sitting here thinking, man, what would it have been like to be a young man or a boy growing up in this culture where everything that they tell you that is coming naturally to you as a student, as a child or whatever, that's toxic. You can't do that. And you're sitting there going, but this is
who I am. Or at least question it.
Yeah, this is who I am. Am I just bad? And that's kind of the impression they gave. And men, whenever they do that, they either lash out or they withdraw completely.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing from young men in society today. They have been browbeat into either submission or anger, and it's not healthy for anyone.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get to some of your thoughts on this on the YouTube live chat and go vote. Do you support recess appointment confirmations for Trump's cabinet picks? It's a hot topic right now. The Republican senators were meeting today. I think J.D. Vance was meeting with some of these different picks, and they're trying to figure out where they are, kind of get that pregame understanding of where the Republicans in the Senate might be, because it doesn't matter what the Democrats want. If all the Republicans agree, you can go through the confirmation process and do all the things and get Donald Trump his cabinet picks. I think there's a key point with the recess appointment thought here, and you got to think about the mechanism to get the picks through. You got to understand that there are going to be people who are for it just because Donald Trump did it, and there are going to be people who are against it just because Donald Trump did it. So where are you? Annie Fry YouTube channel, go vote, leave a comment. We'll be right back. That's where you're gonna go. Never could get in unless you were fed in. Now you're here and you don't know why. But under skin knees and the skid marks, past the places where you used to learn, you howl and listen. Listen, wait for the echoes of angels who won't return. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I had a rule about playing The View on this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to not watch clips of The View now. It's so hard to turn it away. It's so hard to not watch them not handle this whole situation well, because they are not handling this situation well. You know, is it Alyssa Farah something?
Alyssa Farah Griffin?
Griffin. Didn't she work with Trump?
Yeah. She was part of the administration.
She said some cogent things before. And I've seen Whoopi, Okay, confession time. I don't mind Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, I don't mind her as Guinan. But I don't like her on The View so much.
Well, I don't think it's her best work.
Agreed.
But I know how you feel about The View. Did you show your wife that video yet?
I haven't talked to her.
I'm sending it to her in the break.
You should probably not.
Ryan Wiggins talking about how he gets turned on by The View is one of the weirdest but funniest things that I've watched many times since that video was
created. I did not come right and say it that way.
I did.
It was much more humorous.
Go on.
I was talking about how I was just watching it for research. And then I did the eyebrows up
and
down.
Yes, the proverbial articles, if you will. I don't know. I think that, like, I feel like Whoopi Goldberg is more, I don't feel like she's filled with hate. Like Joy Behar.
Yeah.
I don't know what purpose she serves on this planet other than to spew hate.
Yeah, she is a hateful person.
She's so awful.
Yet, ear, eye candy.
Part two. Sunny Hostin, too. Like, Joy, how do you typecast on the same show? You don't need a Joy and a Sunny. Their names are Joy and Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Sunny Joy. Joy Sunny.
Whoopi.
Whoopi. I think I'm starting to get it now. How did we miss this?
And Anna.
Yeah. Which one of these is not like the other? These people have lies for names. But I mean, to Whoopi's point, I often think that Whoopi Goldberg says what she thinks what she says. I respect that. I would say the same for Joy and Sunny, except for they just hate. They don't appear to be thinking. They're just hating. And then they end up going off and saying ridiculous things that every once in a while they end up having to get checked on it. And then I don't know if you've seen this video. We're going to share it on our YouTube. But like, listen to Sunny Hostin have to read this legal disclaimer after defaming Matt Gaetz.
Okay. Wait,
I mean, the look in her eyes, she doesn't even have her eyes all the way open. You can tell that she's vomiting in her mouth when she has to go through and read this legal statement. And the funny thing is I've seen multiple of these lately. They've had to issue corrections. And Whoopi Goldberg is, I guess she's maybe the host of the show or whatever. She's the one who usually takes them into the segment and sends them out of the segment. And she says so many things without saying so many words.
On screen. Sunny, you have a legal note.
I do have a legal note. Thank you, Whoopi. Matt Gaetz has long denied all allegations, calling the claims, quote, invented, and saying in a statement to ABC News that this false smear following a 3-year criminal investigation should be viewed with great skepticism, that DOJ investigation was closed with no charges being brought. We'll be right back.
That was great. Give them credit.
How do you not tune into this stuff right now?
That was great.
The highest rated show they've ever had was the day after the election. Isn't that right?
Maybe. I haven't seen that. But...
Oh, my gosh. If that's true, that's really funny.
All I saw on Twitter the day after the election, and the irony of the situation was, I was going on Twitter to find out the same thing. Everyone was like, what time does The View start? Nobody knows. At least in my X feed, that I understand I have a curated feed of people who I'm willing to consume information for. There's a lean to that feed. But everybody knows the stupid stuff that The View says all the time because they're on X. But nobody knew what time to tune into the show.
Yeah, because nobody's watching it.
None of those people, at least, are sitting down to watch The View.
That's so funny because the next day we got here, and I think we were probably a little bit later than usual. We were up really late. Although, no, I had planned on coming in late and just got up at the same time. So I was here at the same time, and everybody around our office was like, you guys going to tune into The View today? And it was just part of the conversation. Everybody was saying it.
The Variety magazine, Michael Schneider writes an article, the election results weighed heavily last week on The View hosts, and perhaps its viewers as well, as they tuned in en masse to give the daytime talker its best week-long ratings in more than 3.5 years. According to ABC analysts' analysis of Nielsen data, The View averaged 3.078 million viewers during the week of November 4th, making it the tops among daytime broadcast, network talk, and news shows. Specifically, on Wednesday, November 6th, the day after the election. The View attracted 4.47 million viewers, which made it the show's most watched episode since Barbara Walters' farewell episode in 2014. There's Barbara Walters, and then there's We Gotta See What They're Doing Today.
Gosh, that's amazing. You know what else is amazing about that? When Barbara Walters left TV, a lot of people were watching TV.
That's true. Totally
now,
different climate.
You have to seek out somewhere that I couldn't even watch that at home. I had to come in here to see it because we have live TV here. There are way more people tuning into that than even Barbara Walters when you consider the difference of how people consume TV.
I saw somebody tweeted, there's Joe Concha. It's always Joe Concha. Why are you not following Joe Concha on X? At Joe Concha TV, I believe. MSNBC's election night ratings, I think it was specifically dominated CNN's ratings. And there were like MSNBC people like boasting. And Joe Concha's like, if they only knew.
It's true, though.
It was us. We were the ones who were tuning in.
It's 100% true.
I watched on YouTube. Now, I like watching YouTube. YouTube understands me. I get it. Google, I get it. I understand the trouble I'm in. But we watch a lot of YouTube at home. And YouTube serves you stuff up. And I like that because I often will find things that maybe I wouldn't find if I were just searching the usual suspects.
The multiverse.
Sure. It had I think it was 24 minutes and 5 seconds. I'm going to find this and tweet it out because I'll be able to look in my YouTube history. I watched the entire 24-minute video. When I'm looking for videos on YouTube, I'm like 3 minutes tops. That's how much time I'll give it to you on something specifically. And it was 24 minutes of all of MSNBC's election night coverage. It was just shrunk into 24 minutes. And this one guy, and man, I hate to admit this on the air, but Ryan, he reminded me of you. He's just in this like lower corner of the thing, and they're just cutting boom, boom, boom. You know, Vermont goes to Kamala Harris, and it's Rachel Maddow running through the first half of the election results. And then all of a sudden, Rachel Maddow's gone, and Jen Psaki is in there. I'm like, did she quit? Did she give up? But Jen Psaki gets to announce that Donald Trump wins Wisconsin and therefore the presidency. And then the way she ushers in the news that Donald Trump has won re-election is to list basically all of the things that have been accusations towards Donald Trump. They're like, yeah, you guys chose that guy.
Wow.
It was glorious. I hadn't seen it. And watching the meltdown from these people occur with, who's the guy? Michael Steele. He used to be in charge of the Republican Party.
He's there?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Thank you that these people are gone.
And I'm just going to say it this way. As the night progressed, the guests get weirder.
Nobody wants to get on that ship.
Well, you'd think that you'd want to be later in the evening because that's when the results would be. So if you're getting slated, you don't want to be in the 7 o'clock Eastern hour. Nothing's happened then.
Unless you're losing. Then you're going to be like, I think I'm going to go home.
On this break, I'm going to go onto YouTube, find the video I watched, and I'll tweet out, excuse me, I will post on X the link to this YouTube video. Because if you've got half an hour, instead of watching some sitcom, watch this and be filled with sunny joy. We'll be right back. Don't go away.